Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Gloria Sarmiento, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Friday, May 10, 2024, with news, with sports, with music. And we'll have today the interview that we had with Nicole Felter, a former American expat who lived here in Argentina for 7 years, I think. And she started a TikTok account about Argentine culture and about how she became very fond of Argentina, Argentines and Argentine culture. That is called Yankee, or Yankee in Argentina, and it's super popular with tens of thousands of followers. We talked to her, and we are going to share with you the interview with her, with Nicole Felter. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then, of course, Buenos Aires, Argentina. This show in English is aired Mondays to Fridays at 10:30 p.m. UTC time on 5850 kilohertz. You can also listen to us on rae.com.ar as a podcast or streaming live through that webpage, and also via our app for mobile devices that you can download for free, available for Android and Apple. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. Strike in Argentina. Milei's government plays down the impact while unions ask to take note of the protest. Death toll from floods in Brazil exceeds 100. Colombian President Gustavo Petro assures an investigation into his campaign funding is a coup attempt in disguise. Panama's president-elect Mulino anticipates migrants crossing the Darien region will be deported. Sports. Results of Argentine teams in Libertadores and Sudamericana Cups. And these are the news. Argentina had an atypical Thursday due to a general strike that paralyzed public transportation, banks, many schools and several state agencies. Despite the fact that many stores were open, the country's main cities looked like they do on a Sunday. In Buenos Aires, railway terminals remained deserted and the subway did not operate. At the airports, only a few flights operated and a minimum fraction of the buses ran. The strike was called by the main labor unions, the General Confederation of Labor, CGT, and the Central of Argentine Workers, the CTA. The measure was against the policies of President Milei's administration, and in particular against his reform bill, the so-called Bases Law, which is being discussed in the Senate. From the CGT, they considered that the strike was massive, and one of its leaders, Héctor Daer, urged Casa Rosada to take note. We went on a strike because cuts and downsizing are falling on pensioners and on the most vulnerable, explained the unionist. Meanwhile, Andrés Rodríguez, head of the National State Workers Union, warned, if there are no changes, we will continue with the direct actions. On the other hand, the government played down the impact of the protest. Presidential spokesman Emmanuel Adorni expressed that most Argentines are against the unionists and against this type of actions. There is a change of era and a widespread rejection for these characters of almost 80% of the public, asserted Adorni. The spokesperson also ratified that the government will dock today from the wages of state employees that participated in the strike. Meanwhile, Security Minister Patricia Bullrich accused strike organizers of pressuring and intimidating those who did not want to take part in the walkout. According to her, the ministry received more than 3,000 telephone complaints of threats to those working. According to some local media, some buses that did circulate were attacked with stones. Bullrich also warned the CGT that the government will not negotiate with them. Unions have already organized a first strike against the Milei government in January. They denounced a permanent fall in purchasing power in addition to layoffs in the public sector. They also opposed the deregulation of the labor market contained in the basis law currently in the Senate after lower house approval. And they reject the opening of imports, which, according to them, will have an impact on jobs in the national industry. For the ruling party, the CGT and the CTA are not representative of the workers, but are what Mr. Milei calls a caste, and that they are only defending their privileges. In Panama, President-elect José Raúl Mulino warned that he will deport migrants who cross the Darien region in the isthmus between South and Central America. According to official figures, more than half a million people, mostly Venezuelans, crossed that 250-kilometer rainforest region in 2023. These caravans traveled through Central America and Mexico with the aim of reaching the US. In a speech, Mulino anticipated, "We will initiate, with international help, a repatriation process with full respect for human rights. So be aware, those who arrive here will be sent back to their country of origin," the president-elect said. "Our Darien is not a transit route. No, sir. That is our border," said the conservative who won last Sunday's elections in Panama. Mulino, who will take office on July 1st, replaced as candidate his ally, former President Ricardo Martinelli, who could not compete due to corruption accusations. The death toll from the floods in Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil, is already 107. Rescuers are also searching for more than 130 people missing in the catastrophe, due to which over 300,000 people have been evacuated. Large areas of Porto Alegre, the most important city in the region, remain underwater. Due to the magnitude of the disaster, President Lula da Silva announced that $10 billion will be allocated for reconstruction. "We will see the size of the problems when the water goes down and the rivers return to normal," Lula said. The priority for rescuers is the people who remain isolated, whom they are searching for aboard boats. But the distribution of drinking water and food is being intensified, and there is concern about the lack of hygiene and also about vandalism and robberies. Colombian President Gustavo Petro assured an investigation against him is in reality a coup d'etat attempt. For this reason, he called on his supporters to march against this maneuver. "Democracy is in an emergency. The soft coup has begun," assured the head of state in his X account. This Wednesday, the National Electoral Council informed it will analyze the accusation against the president for irregularities in the 2022 electoral campaign. According to two prosecutors, Mr. Petro's candidacy was partly funded with illegitimate money, and he also exceeded the spending limits that are set by the law. The case originates from an investigation ongoing in the US involving Nicolás Petro, the president's son. The latter acknowledged having received contributions from people linked to drug trafficking for his father's campaign. For his part, Mr. Petro assures that he's innocent and that he was unaware of these transactions. Sports now. Several Argentine teams played matches for the Continental Cups last night, the Libertadores and the Sudamericana. In the first competition, Estudiantes de La Plata lost in Bolivia against the strongest, 1-0. In Buenos Aires City, San Lorenzo beat Independiente del Valle from Ecuador 2-0. In the Sudamericana, meanwhile, Lanús beat Peru's Deportivo Garcilaso 2-0 at home. In Córdoba, Belgrano drew 1-1 with Ecuador's Delfín for the Sudamericana Cup 2. And finally, Racing in the same competition lost 2-1 to Bragantino in Brazil. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Okay, folks, now on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, the international service of the Argentine Radio, we're going to be talking to Nicole Felter, an American national who lived here in Argentina for a time. Well, actually, she lives on and off, as I understand. She started an Instagram account, and I think it's a TikTok account as well, called Yankee in Argentina, Yankee in Argentina, in which, well, she talks about, well, cultural shocks and her experience living in this country. Now, she's back in the US, but she continues to post content about, well, the differences between both cultures and particularly her experience with Argentina. Hello, Nicole. Thank you for listening and thank you for being there.
Oh, my.Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat today.
Great. Well, why don't we start with your story? What's your connection to Argentina? How did you come to Argentina and when?
I love it. Okay, perfect. So I originally went to Argentina in 2015, and I went to study abroad. I knew nothing about Argentina. I didn't do any research before I got there. So I went on a whim, and it was incredible. I fell in love with Argentina, and I ended up meeting my now husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of 2015, I left Argentina, went to go finish my undergrad in the U.S., and I ended up moving. I was spending time between Argentina and the U.S. During that time, and then officially ended up moving back to Argentina permanently at the end of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so ever since then, lived there up until last year in February, so 2023. So I lived there for 6 years after that. And just, it was incredible. You know, made friends, you know, grew my family, worked. And so now I have two children who are 5 and 2. And so, yeah, it was just really great. And so that's a little bit of my story without going too much into
amazing. Well, the main reason is that, well, you fell in love like many people, no? You met,
yeah,
your significant other somewhere else, and that transformed your life into a binational life and your family into a binational family. family.
Oh, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
And you live in Buenos Aires, no? We're talking about Buenos Aires.
Yes, I was living in Buenos Aires at mm-hmm. the time.
Where exactly?
So I was at first, I stayed in Palermo the whole time, mm-hmm. but then at the end I lived in Las Cañitas, which Good. Was always my dream to live in Las Cañitas, mm-hmm. so I was very, very happy.
It's a very, very nice neighborhood, we're telling our listeners, in the yes. northern part of Buenos Aires, near the, it's near the Hipódromo, no? The race court.
Yes. Yes, mm,
just
yes,
by
yes.
it. Yeah, lovely. Well, and why don't you tell us about your account, Junkie in Argentina. When did you come up with the idea of posting and uploading content about that?
Okay, this is great because I have never got to share this story publicly. But, so, you know, I fell in love with Argentina. I really took on the culture, and for me, you know, I consider myself Argentinian at this point. I even have Argentinian citizenship, mm-hmm. and for me, it was great that I was able to adapt so well to the country and to the language. And you know, a lot of times now in the U.S., people think I'm Argentinian when they hear me speak Spanish because I sound so Argentinian, right? And so one day I was having dinner with some of my husband's family, and they had just been telling me, you know, how great my accent was, mm-hmm. and that I should start making an account and start sharing it because, you know, there's so many other people who are sort of like doing this from different countries and, of course, also from Argentina who have like picked up the accent and talk so greatly about the country. And so I ended up making an account from there. I was a little bit nervous at first, but then it sort of took off, and mm-hmm. I was able to, you know, express my love for Argentina, talk about, as you said, some of the things that have shocked me, you know, surprised me, maybe some yeah. of the things that I don't like so much,
yeah,
some
yeah.
of the things that I miss about the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been a really great outlet for me to, you know, connect with an Argentinian audience, also teach people about how great Argentina is compared
yeah,
to the U.S. In some aspects. And so that's kind of been a little bit of my journey.
How many followers does the account have now?
Yeah, so right now in TikTok I have 42,000 followers, and awesome. On Instagram I have 26,000 followers. I started my Instagram like later than my TikTok, so excited to see how that
Good.
Sort of
Well, goes. Well, we advise everybody to check it out because it's pretty funny. And actually, I wanted to talk about some of the issues that you talk about. For example, let's start with the cultural shock. So, going back to 2016, that first year, what were the top three, five cultural shocks?
Oh my gosh. All right. There's so many. Okay. So some of the things, and I have to say, like getting to know more about the culture came from really being with my husband, right? Like going to visit his family in the countryside, like getting to know them more, because I think when you're
sorry. Is your husband is from the countryside. It's not from Buenos Aires.
So, no, my husband is from Buenos Aires, but he has family that lives in Magdalena.
Magdalena, yeah, to the south.
Yes. Okay, so he has family that's in Magdalena, and then he also has family that lives in Branson, and so mm-hmm. I would go out there and visit them, and I think,
That's proper campo, countryside, pampas, asado, flat grasslands, typical gaucho land.
Oh, yes, and I love it, especially the asado part. That's my favorite part, obviously.
Who
But when I started dating him and really got to see, like, more of the intricate side of Argentinian culture, some of the things that surprised me, and I think about this a lot, is, one, that, like, Argentinians didn't waste food, right? And so with thinking about something so minimal like that in the U.S., you know, maybe when you're eating, you still have some food left on your plate, but you just throw it out. Right?
Yeah. You're
not going to save it. But in Argentina, like, we would save everything.
Absolutely. For a sandwich.
We save everything. We're not throwing any food out.
Yeah, obviously. For the sandwich, for the school food for the kids. Actually, you don't get rid of anything, especially if it's meat.
No, leftovers. Oh, yes, no, especially if it's me. You can use it on anything. But no, leftovers, we're not throwing anything out in my house. And so that's been something that's, like, I think kind of also shocked my parents as they've seen that, as we get that, as, you know, we move back to the U.S.
So in the U.S., what, sorry, I'm curious. In the U.S., I mean, you have half a plate of perfectly eatable food and you just throw it out?
I would say, maybe not like half a plate, but yeah, I would say that it's very common here for people to have food left on their plate, or like maybe if there's not that much food left over in, you know, like let's say you make a dish of pasta and you still have some food left in a bowl, but it's not that much, like they'll just throw it out. And so when I went to Argentina, I was like, this is so crazy. I love it though, because I prefer not to have any food waste. That was something that was a shock to me. And then also something that has, you know, been a reverse culture shock upon moving back to the U.S., of course, is that in Argentina, like, people fixed everything, right? So you don't find that people are buying new TVs every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. No.
Or,
no,
you know,
we,
at the
we can't, actually.
That it's not working. No, you can, because of the economic situation,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Obviously, and that's something that I think is notable maybe about the U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times it's more expensive to bring something to go get fixed,
yeah,
rather
than to order it online and get it shipped to your house. Yeah. So
and it's awful. It's so wasteful.
Yeah, definitely. And now, Nicole, it's something that I've noticed. Many people in your situation, I mean, especially American expatriates, they always emphasize, maybe being an Argentine, we don't notice that so much, the importance that we give to personal relationships, family ties, friends, being with others, spending time with your loved ones, vis-a-vis the U.S. Apparently, this is a very, very big difference and a big plus for living in Argentina.
Oh my gosh, you're going to make me cry. I'm getting emotional just thinking about this, because I think when I was living in Argentina, I would be like, that's not true. Like, you know, people in the U.S., they are very family-oriented. And they are. I will say that they are. But I was also, every time I was coming back, I was always spending time with a lot of family. Now that I'm living back in the U.S., like, I can say it's not very, like, I don't really spend that much time with my family outside of my parents, really. And actually, my son, who's 5, we were talking the other day, and he was like, you know, I really miss Argentina.
Because,
you know, we would always do, we would always go out to the campo, and when we went out to the campo for, like, barbecues on Sundays and to spend time with family, like, it was like all the cousins would come, right, cousins who were his age, and we would all just spend a bunch of time together, and there would be, like, 10, 12 of us, and it was kind of funny, and it also made me sad, but he was like, you know, when we were in Argentina, we would always have this time with all the family, and now that we're here in the U.S., like, it's only us,
wow,
and Gigi and Papa, those are my parents.
Jeez.
And he was like, there's only 6 of us.
Wow.
Like, I want to be where there's more of us, and
yeah,
you know, made me emotional.
Now it's you.
That, so.
Now it's you who's going to make me cry, so. So,
and he's only 5.
Yeah. Both your kids were born here in Argentina.
No. So my son was born in the U.S., but that's because I was so sick during my pregnancy with him that I went home. My parents could, you know, help me and support
mm-hmm.
me. But my daughter, she was born in Argentina. But we moved after I had my son. We moved right back to the Argentina, like when he was 2 months old.
No, this is so very interesting. We're talking to Nicole Felter. She's got this Instagram account and TikTok account called Janky in Argentina. You have content in both Spanish and English.
Yes.
Okay, good. So, well, it's good for listeners of this show who may be curious about our Argentine culture, but seen from the perspective of an expat or a former expat, you can check out Nicole's account, Janky in Argentina. Now, obviously, we could talk for hours about this, and I'd like to invite you to the Spanish show when you are here in Argentina, whenever that is.
Yes.
But to wrap it up before the end, because we have to sign off in a couple of minutes, I'd like to ask you quickly. Your toolbox, I mean, your Argentine cultural features that are part of your toolbox and are useful now that you're back in the U.S. Argentine features that we can find in Nicole now.
Okay, my Argentine features that you can find in me now are, one, I would say I'm not as trusting of people as maybe I used to be. Like, maybe I'm not so naive, which I think is something very valuable that Argentina taught me. I think also something that Argentina taught me was to not talk too much, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, say what you have to say and then let the conversation go from there rather than just talking and talking, especially if you're, like, trying to get something done. Mm-hmm. And then I would just say that another thing that's very, like, Argentinian about me now is, oh, just the way that I approach time. So maybe before, on the weekends, you know, I used to be, like, very rushed and want to do a million things, and now I'm just like, no, let's take it slow, mm-hmm. enjoy time. And so I think those are...
No, that's a big...
But that's my Argentinian toolbox.
Especially on the weekends. Well, Nicole, finally, let me ask you your favorite Argentine word that you incorporated to your vocabulary now.
Oof, oh my god, okay, I feel so on the spot with it. I would say, okay, it's not so much a, like a word as much as like a phrase. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I love más o menos, which I feel like is so, like, it doesn't really have that much of a meaning, but in English, más o menos, which would be so-so, it just doesn't hit the same.
Yeah,
like, when you say más o menos, I feel like it has so much more meaning than, like, so-so, you know?
Yeah, but más o menos has got more, yeah, more meanings. I mean, it's more powerful.
Yes.
Más o menos.
I know that's not, like, the most interesting thing, but I love más o menos.
Excellent. Well, Nicole, thank you very much for this. I trust that you come to our show and do this in Spanish for a longer time. Congratulations on your account, which is Junkie in Argentina, and thank you very much for this contact with RAE.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day, and I can't wait to see you in August.
Okay, thank you. All the best. That was Nicole Felter talking to us from Washington, D.C. She's got this Instagram account, Junkie in Argentina. Former expat, two kids, married to an Argentine, and loves our culture and our country, too.
And with that, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior in English, for Friday, May 10, 2024. Our sound technician was Gloria Sarmiento, and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. This show in English airs Mondays to Fridays at 10:30 p.m. UTC time on the frequency of 5,850 kHz, and also via internet on rae.com.ar and via our app, Digital RAE, for mobile devices. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you have an excellent weekend, and join us on Monday for a new show of RAE. Ciao.